This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
It's Radio 1's Screen Time. Yippee-ki-yay.
Hello and welcome to another special Sunday edition of Radio 1 Screen Time. Of course, it's time for an interview, and this is one of my favourites from the past few months. Sophie Turner, of course, you know her best as Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones, but she's also, casually, Jean Grey in the new X-Men movies. And when I spoke to her in advance of X-Men Dark Phoenix, I was just having, honestly, a truly great time just having a chat with her and taking the mick a bit, because she's got an amazing sense of humour and she's just honestly gets it. I know that sounds a bit weird, but occasionally you'll make a silly joke and maybe a more American actor or actress might go, I don't get that British sarcasm. But Sophie, she was on board with all of my nonsense. So please do enjoy me talking to her for a Story So Far interview, where we discuss, of course, Game of Thrones, a lot of X-Men Dark Phoenix, and much more besides. I can't believe she's so young. She's in her early 20s. She's already Emmy nominated. She's in the biggest TV show, arguably, of all time. And she plays a superhero. You know, that's not bad. Something to aim for.
To be direct, you're 23 years old.
I am.
You've just released the final episode of one of the biggest TV shows in the history of existence. And now you are the title character of a superhero movie. How does that feel?
It feels good. I don't know. It feels nice. I've been very, very lucky, I think. Like, I've really lucked out with my career, I guess. But I'm definitely not up to par on where I should be. I don't deserve this. But for some reason, they've just put me here. So here I am.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Simon Kinberg said, look, I've got an idea. Would you like to be the lead of the next X-Men movie? All right.
I don't know, Simon. It's going to take a bit of convincing there, buddy.
Must I?
If I must.
Okay. We saw a little bit of Jean Grey's powers in Apocalypse. But yeah. In this movie, not to give too much away, you let rip in a way that I was like, it felt a bit like there was a hairdryer on my face as I was watching.
Did you watch
film.
It? You yeah, watched yeah, the yeah. whole thing? Oh, great.
I've watched the whole thing. And there's a sequence where you essentially unleash hell for about 5 minutes.
I do.
Yeah, as you do.
It's a lot of fun.
A technical question here. Mm. What's going on when you're phoenixing? Are you just doing...
It's literally like I have to wear... Because the hair is CGI, so I have to wear a bald cap. And then I have dots all over my face because they have to, like, track where my skin is going to crack.
Crack.
And so I'm just kind of stood there looking like an idiot, going like this, with no music and going... Wah! You just you feel like such an idiot, but it's fun. It's really fun. You just have to use your imagination a bit.
James McAvoy has the whole...
He does.
But you can't do that.
No, I can't do that. But I do spend like hours... I did spend hours in the mirror kind of practicing my moves. This is the twist the doorknob. I like that one. That's my favourite. And the others are just kind of like this. Yeah, and then there's like this one and this one. Really good.
That's when people really need to die.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Oh, God, no.
Not you, darling.
Please, you're going down. Do you have to do the ADR stuff as well, where afterwards they go, we need breaths and efforts, and you need to be killing most of the universe here, so go.
Basically, yeah. And you just, I mean, it's terrible when you have to do ADR because most of the time you feel like you're going to faint because it's always breaths and efforts, and it's just like you just have to sit there panting for 10 minutes, and then you just like, I can't do this anymore. This is not acting.
I feel like this is a bit much. Not to overdo how powerful she is, and you are, obviously, but she's so powerful that in the trailer for this film, you kill Jennifer Lawrence. And even Thanos didn't kill a superhero in the Avengers movies in the trailer.
Well, I guess Thanos just isn't as powerful as Jean is.
There we go,
and that's the tea.
She said it. I didn't. With this film, you do have an amazing cast. I'm lucky enough to interview some of them later.
Who are you interviewing?
McAvoy and Fassbender.
Nice.
Kinberg as well. Are there any embarrassing questions that you'd like to give me to ask them that would catch them out?
I feel like I probably have more for McAvoy than Fassbender. Let me think.
Okay.
Why don't you just ask him why is your neck so thick in this movie? Just ask him why. It'll just really, it'll really upset him that people have noticed how thick his neck is in this movie.
Okay. This is a bet I'll take. I want you to know that. It's going to happen.
You. Good. I can't wait to hear his response.
It's my promise.
It's because he was shooting, he was training for Glass, and so he was like, you know, he's supposed to be in this wheelchair, but his legs are jacked and his arms are jacked, and he's got this really thick neck that makes him look a bit like a thumb because, you know, he's bald as well. And it was just funny. And he's wearing a polo neck too. It was just perfect.
They should have named Glass Thumb.
Thumb.
I'll have 4 tickets to Thumb.
Please. Thumb Man.
Yep. The superhero no one saw coming.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got big ensemble casts, have been a part of your life for a long time. Mm. How do the atmospheres compare between Game of Thrones on set and an X-Men film?
It was very different between Game of Thrones and X-Men Apocalypse, because Game of Thrones is a very serious set, you know, that there's no room for improvising.
No, wait. You're kidding, right?
You can't improvise?
You didn't, like, riff off most of your one-liners.
I wish, but, like, you can't really write it, and you don't know, like, what anyone's names are anyway, really. You're like, if you wanted to riff, you'd be like, Edgar Rothenfartarian. Like, you can't.
Love that guy.
Love that guy. But with X-Men, mm-hmm. it's kind of, well, Apocalypse, it was a lot more like loose, and we didn't really have, well, I didn't really have much material to work with, so I was just kind of, I just had a great time. We used to like play dares on set, truth or dare, like while we're on camera. It was just like, it was a shit show, but it was so much fun.
Also, you got Jennifer Lawrence shouting lunch
all the time. She just wants lunch. That girl just wants to eat.
The fact is, let's all admit it, we all want lunch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's just the only one saying it.
She's the only one saying it. She's the realest of the real.
Quite right. And then he killed her. Well done.
Well, I don't know if we can say that. Can we say that?
It's in the trailer.
I think Simon said something, actually, in an interview, but now we've been told not to say anything, but it doesn't make sense because Simon's already exposed.
The genie's out of the bottle.
The genie is out of that bottle.
But speaking of the one-liners, I have, and you can cue the cheesy top 5 music if you like.
Ooh.
I've put together my favourite Sansa put-downs.
No way!
Now, these are mine, and I know the internet is a powerful demonic force. Love you guys. And I will have got this wrong, but these are the ones I love the most.
Wow!
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is a classic. You've got, you're going to die tomorrow, Lord Bolton. Sleep well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's a great one.
I want to use that more in real life.
I know, you should, but, you know, you might get arrested for it or something.
Yes, and I don't know many lords, so... also, your words will disappear, your house will disappear, all memory of you will disappear. It's mm-hmm. like...
You know, someone said that to me once in a park. They just kind of... This fan came up to me and quoted it to me, and I couldn't remember, like, that it was in Game of Thrones, and so I was just like, what? I, like, ran away. I was crying. My friend and I were like, what? This guy is so scary. Imagine someone being like, your house will disappear, your name will disappear. Or said it like that. It was horrible.
Also, what's so creepy about it is that he must have thought before he did it, oh, she's going to love
this. She's going to love this.
And you're like...
And I run away crying.
Oh, my God, it's the thumb. No.
The thumb, Mr. Thumb.
It's getting better. Mr. Thumb.
Mr. Thumb.
Okay, so my number 4 is this. And this I can use quite a lot. No need to seize the last word, Lord Baelish. I'll assume it was something clever.
Love that one.
Just shut up.
Forgot about that one.
I mean, underappreciated is what I'd say.
Yeah.
Okay, from early on, episode 6.
Of season 1?
Of season 1.
Oof. Wait. Can I guess it?
Oh, please.
Is it, oh, wait, I just realised I don't care.
Yes.
Yeah!
See, again, that's a very usable burn.
Like, it is a very usable burn. Ask someone a question and then say that.
But I think, and this is very nearly my number one, but my number 2 is actually from the last episode, okay?
Okay.
Which is Uncle. Please sit.
When he stands up and he tries to make his claim to becoming a king.
Just...
Uncle. He said.
I think it's the uncle, which is... You're embarrassing the big kids.
I know.
Uncle.
I would hate Sansa.
I think she's great.
I think she's great too. But if, like, my niece said that to me, I'd be like, sit down.
Oh.
Shut up.
I would look straight at her mum and dad and go...
Be like, out of control.
Sort this out.
Yeah, she doesn't have a mum and dad, though.
Oh.
Does she?
Thanks for that.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Here we go. So, my final one. You can probably guess this. It is the you stand accused of murder.
Oh!
Because, and I don't want to just say how great you are, but in order to deliver that line, you have to be very, very good. Because I would have, because I'm awful, I've gone Lord Baelish. And made it entirely too much.
Lord Baelish. Well, I think I did start doing that at the beginning, but they told me to tone it down. You know? It didn't work out.
So we can thank the director for that.
Yes, exactly. It's all in the edit.
But seriously, that whole sequence. I know everyone's been talking about this final season, but I do wonder whether that is my favourite moment.
It's my favourite moment.
Seeing him get what he deserves.
So satisfying after all those years.
What a total word I can't say.
Yeah.
Okay. again, not to freak you out, but this August, it'll be 10 years since you were cast as Sansa. Are you looking forward to never having to worry about spoilers ever again?
Yeah. Well, no, because I think I will have to worry about spoilers still. For everything that you do, you know, you're not... Even when you sign on to a project, you're not allowed to talk about what that project is to anyone. And then once you're allowed to talk about it, about the name of it, you're not allowed to talk about what's in the project. So it's just like, it's a life of spoilers.
And even if you're playing, like, Ophelia in Hamlet, it's like... Don't say anything, but...
Yeah, don't say anything, but it's already written.
Spoiler alert, I studied it and a lot of other people did too, so...
I know, it doesn't make sense to me, but spoilers are just going to be part of my life for years and years and years. And I'm a terrible secret keeper, so it doesn't
really?
Bode well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
You can ask me anything, I'll probably tell you.
Oh, great.
No, didn't mean that.
I very rarely get this opportunity, but no, I'll be professional. Looking back on Game of Thrones, not to go on about it too much... Aside from those ones I've mentioned, have there been favourite scenes that you're willing to rewatch yourself? Because I personally find watching myself kind of nightmarish.
Yeah, me too.
Are there ones where you go, you know what? I'm okay with this.
No. I truly hate watching myself so much. I haven't seen Game of Thrones since like season 3.
I can tell you it's pretty good. You should check it out.
Well, you know what? I watched like two episodes of this season to kind of see what all the fuss was about. And I really enjoyed it. But like, it just ruins it for me watching myself. Mm. I think it's just because like, you know, the background of all of those scenes that you did, you're thinking like, oh, like, you know, I really needed to
pee
that day or, you know, stupid things like that. But it just ruins the whole cinematic experience for me. And so does my acting.
I'd like the Sophie Turner director's commentary of, what you don't realise then is that we had just said a very loud swear word here, mm-hmm. and then they said roll camera. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're giggling.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. I would like to ask you about your friendship with Jessica Chastain, because I think she's kind of winning social media right now.
She is.
And if I were looking for a best friend on the X-Men junket tour... It would be her.
It would be her.
I think.
Slightly offended, but it's fine.
Don't be. It's fine.
Okay.
You're a close fourth.
Thank you. I would put myself there too, though, you know?
You're walking around saying, that's Sophie. Can you...
Jessica is a lot of fun.
Mm.
She's a troublemaker. Are you having her in here after?
I will be speaking to her later.
Yeah, she's a troublemaker and she's a lot of fun.
How can I embarrass her?
Oh, God. It's hard to embarrass her. Why do you want to embarrass everyone?
I was like...
I kind of love this, though. Let's try and sabotage all of them. Jessica. How can you embarrass Jessica?
My worry is, like you say, she's unembarrassable.
Yeah, she just kind of owns it. You can't really embarrass her at all.
She's too much. She's too good.
Yeah, she's too good.
You do a lot of scenes with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm imagining, again, you've got all the bald and the whatever.
Yeah.
Were there moments where you thought to yourself, is this really happening? Like, this
yeah,
is
of
too
course.
Surreal.
Of course. Like, you're stood there, like, dangling on wires for, like, half an hour with dots all over your face and a bowl cap, and you're thinking, this is glamour.
This is glamour.
This is Hollywood glamour.
There's Michael Fassbender. James McAvoy's downstairs.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is a Tuesday.
So it's pretty cool to, like, be in the presence of all these, like, amazing actors. But at the same time, you do feel like a bit of a douchebag aesthetically, and, you know, being held up by your crotch. It's just, you don't feel great in yourself.
When you watch the final film, you go, I'm flying, that's incredible. But you're thinking...
I'm thinking, God, that hurts.
God, please, no.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I'm going to be infertile after this. If I stay one more minute up here, it's not going to be good for me.
And then you shout the word lunch, and you get lunch.
No, that only happens when Jen shouts lunch, not me. I haven't been on enough movies yet.
Soon.
Soon.
I want to ask you a few kind of general questions I like to ask everybody at the end, but what mementos from work that you've done so far, whatever it's been, other films or music videos, have made it back home that you're proud of?
I think I've only taken two things from Game of Thrones and nothing from anything else. I took my corset because it just brought me clearly so much joy and it was so comfortable. A scroll from the last season. It was one about like Euron Greyjoy's fleet and Missandei was captured and Dragon was killed. And I kept that one.
And you have it framed?
I don't actually. It's in my mini fridge.
To be honest, that's where I keep my scrolls. So
yeah, it's where everyone keeps their scrolls, in the mini fridge.
It's not weird. When you're doing intense films like this one or Game of Thrones, what junk food TV do you watch in between takes? When you go back to your trailer, are you pressing play on Cash in the Attic? What's going on?
No, keeping up with the Kardashians, mainly. It just takes you out of the seriousness of everything. Keeping up with the Kardashians or... what else? What else do I like to watch? What's it called? It's so good. It's called Intervention.
Oh, God.
I can feel the pressure rising in my body. Intervention.
Tell me about it. I don't know it.
It's basically following... It's actually quite sad. It's following real-life people who need interventions from alcohol or drugs.
I should have guessed now I ask it.
Yeah, it does make sense.
I just asked you, what's the show called Intervention about?
It's about interventions, mate. It's great, though. It's not, you can just find it on YouTube.
Excellent.
Check it out, Intervention.
I will, I appreciate it. Do you occasionally get fans mistaking you for the wrong person?
I don't think I've ever had that. I think I've had... Like, people have told me that I look like someone, but I've never been mistaken for someone.
Do they ever go, you look like Sophie Turner?
Yeah, of course. And then I go, oh, wow, that's so nice of you. Thank you. Wow. Mm. And then they're like, you look like Sansa. And I'll be like, what a weird name. Going, thank you.
She sounds like a... No. What is the best bit of direction you've got, either in the X-Men movies or Game of Thrones or whatever, where you've gone, I'm not forgetting that?
Oof. Best bit... Well, we had this director once in, I think it was like season 2 or season 3. He was this fantastic director called Alex Sakharov, who started off as our director of photography. But it wasn't a specific piece of advice, but every time that you were in an emotional scene, right before they were about to say action, he would run up to you and he would get in your ear and he'd be like, remember, your father has died, your mother has died, everyone has died, you're married to a man who likes to abuse you, ha ha. And then he'd be like, oh. And you'd just be like laughing and crying all at once. Be like, what was that? But it worked, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what's really weird is he did it during X-Men Dark Phoenix, and it's like, it's not helping me.
I know, it's not helping me. Alec, you need to stop following me around and whispering these things in my ear.
Bye.
Bye.
Sit down.
Bye.
Okay, my final question for you is, is there any advice you'd like to give your younger self before all of this took off?
Wow. I would give myself a few pieces of advice. The first would be... document everything, because like you're about to experience something really special and you're not going to remember much of it because you were so young. So try and take as many pictures as possible and try and live in the moment, because it will be over like that. My other piece of advice would be don't take yourself too seriously too young, because I think I definitely, you know, when you're 13 and you go into like a very adult environment, people treat you like an adult and you're working kind of adult hours from 16. And so you take yourself far too seriously and you don't have as much fun as you should be.
Sure.
My third piece of advice would be stay off social media until you're 18.
I really agree with that.
Yeah.
I have often said if I could not be on social media, I would be.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely agree.
But I'll say one last thing on it. I'm very grateful that Vine exists because your videos with Maisie.
Oh, jeez. That's why I should stay off social media until I'm 18. It's so embarrassing.
Opposite of that. Opposite of embarrassing. Excellent.
Thank you, but really, truly awful. Embarrassing.
That's the kind of note I like to end my interviews on.
Thanks. Just embarrassed.
Embarrassed and awful. That's the vibe we were going for today. Sophie, thank you.
Thank
it's been a real
you.
Pleasure. And good luck with that Greg James guy.
Yeah, whoever he is.
Some bloke.
So that was the amazing Sophie Turner. I wasn't kidding when I said how great she was. I honestly hope she goes from strength to strength, success to success. Thank you for listening. You look lovely. And I really appreciate you taking the time to not only press subscribe and press play on this podcast, but also just for listening all the way to the end. Not a lot of people do. We do notice these things. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Anyway, goodbye. Bye.
This is the BBC.